Coming up on this edition of Chippewa Valley This Week, we'll hear from area author Tammy Nowak about her book, We're All the Same in Different Ways, a story about diversity and acceptance. It's all ahead on this edition of Chippewa Valley This Week, a public affairs program of WWIB and WOGO Radio. I'm Mark Halverson. Tammy Nowak is an Eau Claire author whose book is being offered during January from WWIB's nonprofit corporation, Western Wisconsin's Inspirational Broadcaster Incorporated. The nonprofit corporation exists to pay for airtime of 21 Christ-centered shows on WWIB throughout the week and on the weekend. Some are short features or others are what's called long-form shows. And Tammy Nowak has written this children's book, We're All the Same in Different Ways, a story about diversity and acceptance. And we thought the eve of Martin Luther King Day would be a great time to hear from her on that. I spoke with her on Friday and began by asking her to tell us about herself.
Well, I live in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, right here in our Chippewa Valley area. I am a wife, a mother, a grandmother. I'm a Stephen minister. So I have touched many portions of children's lives throughout my years. Have a nice little hobby farm with a number of animals and just enjoying the blessings that God has given to us.
Have you ever written a book before, or is this your first one?
This is my very first book, although it has been on my mind and a calling that has been transferred to me for many years. So I'm very proud to have placed God within my first book.
And so the book is We're All the Same in Different Ways, a story about diversity and acceptance. And so you say you've kind of felt this in you for a while. Give us kind of an overview of the book.
Well, I'd like to start, Mark, by breaking down the title, because I feel that the title portrays the message very simply. So we're all the same in different ways. If I break that down into two portions of that title, we're all the same. So what does that really mean? So when I started writing this book, I thought this part of the title speaks to our shared humanity and our shared identity as God's, what God created. And at the very deepest level, we all have the same needs, right, Mark? We want to be loved. We want to belong. We want to be seen. And then when we take it to a spiritual level, it really reflects the truth that we're all created in the image of God, as we all know, and we're all equally valued by Him. So then we know no one's more important, no one's more loved, and no one's more worthy than anyone else. And when I connected that portion of my title to faith, it's just a simple reminder that before we as adults, as children, notice the differences on the outside, God sees our heart and He sees us first as His children. So when I go into the second portion of that title, In Different Ways, what does that mean? This is the part that really celebrates God's creativity. So we might be the same on the inside. We are different on the outside, the same value and worth, and we're wonderfully different in how we look, where we've come from, and how we've all experienced the world in different ways. And these differences aren't God's accidents. They're very intentional. So they allow us to learn from one another and actually to reflect God's beauty in very unique ways. So when I connect that portion of the title to our faith, then I simply break it down and say, God didn't make us all the same on the outside, because unity doesn't require uniformity. So I just want to reiterate that unity does not require uniformity. So our differences that we have are all part of His design, and they're actually a gift that we can celebrate with one another. So when I put that title all together, we're all the same in different ways. It just simply means that we are equal in worth, we're united in love, and we're uniquely designed by our Savior. So the title itself is really the message. It's simple enough for children to understand, and yet I felt it was deep enough for adults to reflect on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. And your subtitle is A Story About Diversity and Acceptance. Can you comment on that at all?
Sure. When we look at, in 2024, when we look at our nation's racial makeup, we see an increasing amount of diversity. So the statistics in 2024 said that 75% of our nation is white, 14% is black, and 20% is Hispanic. Now, when we break that down to Eau Claire County, the stats are just a little bit different, but they're very parallel in their percentages. And when we see our university in our community and we see other larger community events, we see that that diversity is growing exponentially. And not only are we looking at white, black, Hispanic, but we're looking at a mixture of all of those three as well. So when we see that racial makeup increasing in diversity, we really need to step up and say, okay, we're all the same in different ways, right?
Yeah, for sure. I love it. And again, biblically, I guess I think of 1 Samuel 16:7, that man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. And that seems to be a message that you get across in the book as you talk about the young boy culture.
Absolutely, yes. When I actually had that scripture as a secondary inclination to put into my book, but I used Isaiah 64:8, and we all know this verse too that says, "Yet you, Lord, are our Father. We are the clay, you are the potter, and we are all the work of your hand." So when I put these words on paper, I say that literature like this can mirror that real world out there that we live in and the importance of preparing children for a multicultural society. Several weeks ago, I heard a broadcast of two women, a black woman and a white woman, and they were talking about the increased diversity in our nation. And when they talked about that, they were targeting adults, that as adults, we need to behave, we need to look at these cultures and accept them. But my thought went a little bit farther than that, and I found myself thinking, what if that inspiration could be given to our children, and we can notice how naturally they can accept before the world teaches them something else? So again, I found myself thinking, what if we could protect that innocent just a little bit longer? So in this book, it was born from a prayer, a reflection, and just a desire to help families use it as a tool to bring faith-based conversations about love and about unity into their homes.
I love what you said earlier about unity and uniformity as well. And in this AI age, I've looked it up. Here's what the AI overview is. It says unity's connection through shared purpose despite differences, like the Avengers, while uniformity is sameness in appearance, thought, or action, like clones often enforced. Unity thrives on diverse strengths. There's that diversity for a common goal, whereas uniformity stifles individuality for control and lacks depth, making unity generally more powerful and resilient.
Yeah, that's really a great definition and exactly what I want to get across. It just a gentle, joyful reminder that while God made us all uniquely, he loves us equally. So Sometimes that's hard for children to understand when they get teased and they get bullied at school, which is part of the storyline in this book as well. But in the end, we see that if we can catch these children when their hearts are wide open at this early age, we can grow them in their faith, we can grow them in their confidence, and we can grow them in empathy and sympathy. And when we can take that confidence and implant it in a young child's heart, that changes everything from that point forward into their adulthood. They're accepted, they can learn better, they can interact socially better, their social skills are better because they're confident. And that's really kind of an underlying message in this book too, is that you might look different, you might get teased, but let's give you the confidence on the inside that God loves you. You're a person of faith.
Well, we know that, for instance, some schools have, and even in Liberia, West Africa, my wife and I have done a lot of work, they have a lot of the private schools have school uniforms, so all the kids can look the same. And yet we know even in America, where maybe they don't have school uniforms as often, there is that pressure to, you know, look a certain way, right?
That's exactly right. And when I look back at uniforms in schools today, it really does take away a lot of that competition between children, between social economic situations that we have. And one thing that I'd like to point out in this book is at the very end, the very last page, because I wanted this book to be a tool for parents, for educators, that they can plant those seeds of kindness and empathy and God-centered love that can grow with those children, I have three discussion questions at the end that are, I feel, are very important for educator and parents as a conversation to have with their child. The first one is, we are fearfully and wonderfully made by God. We know that. But asking that child, what makes you wonderfully made? And what we're going to get back from that is a positive affirmation. They're going to think about that, and they're going to say, what is special about me? And then we're going to try to highlight that because that's what they think is special. And my second question is, have you seen kids teased? And I'm sure that all children have. And after they read this book, how can they show God's love in those situations? And again, that inspires a conversation. It's a springboard to sympathy to others and empathy to others. And my final question was, has anyone teased you? Which brings it back to home in that child's heart. And maybe it's something that the parent or the educator hasn't even observed themselves. But then we go on to say, how can we walk through those situations using the lessons in this story? So I like those discussion questions as a tool, and I think it's just a very valuable part in ending that book.
Fantastic. I've got three final questions for you. First of all, is it intentional? I noticed that while you refer early on and you tell the story about Coulter, we really don't see him in terms of the illustrations, and I want to ask you about your illustrator coming up, my second question here. But is it intentional we don't see a picture of Coulter until much later that he was a black boy?
That is such a great observation, and that was absolutely purposeful because, as I said earlier, the racial makeup is increasing in its diversity. So if I would have identified at the very beginning of the book that Coulter is black, that Coulter is Hispanic, or Coulter is white and looks a little different, that would have been a deal breaker for the whole book. And it would have told the story before the story was told. So thank you for that observation. That is very awesome.
I did notice that. All right. Secondly, I know you'd like to pay tribute to your illustrator, Sandra Marvel. Tell us about her.
Sandra Marvel is a former resident of Eau Claire. And her and I got together and talked about this book and what before the book was even written. And she went right to work, and on a canvas that was very large, she took her oil painting to the canvas, and she made each and every one of these as a custom illustration to this book. And with the canvas being so large, I want to say it was maybe like 4x10 or 5x10, we actually could reduce those to production and put them in the book, and they came out with just entire clarity that is just unreal. And I think another thing about this book and the illustrations too is there's a lot of nature in here, of course, which God created and we admire as well. And I think that's another point that we can talk with our children as a side note, look what God created beyond us.
And then finally, what do you have any other book projects you're working on? This has turned out so well. You've had WIB Incorporated is just one example where we don't feature local authors much ever, but we are featuring yours. And so do you have other either children or adult book projects in mind?
I'm so glad you asked that. I have a book written in draft form right now, and it's called Lily Donka. I didn't know I was a donkey. And this was inspired by a miniature baby donkey that I acquired about a month ago. And she was thrown in with three horses, and miniature horses. So they weren't too much bigger than her, but they looked different. And she thought she looked like them. But once again, hitchhiking a little bit on the story of we're all the same in different ways. It's another connection to we may look different, but we can be accepted in our differences. So we can look forward to that coming as well.
Terrific. And what does it mean for you that, you know, Carol Stewart and Wib Incorporated have chosen to highlight your book here at the start of the year and make it available for a suggested requested gift of 45 or more, benefiting our nonprofit corporation?
You know, I am so thankful for WWIB. When I was 23 years old, I started listening faithfully to WWIB. And then I moved away for a short period of time and came back. So I've always felt a very dear connection to WWIB. And my mission in providing this book to WWIB was a big thank you that it has been such a valuable aspect to so many parts of my life, the special programs that have been there, just knowing that there's a friend in my background of my daily housework, and it's right there talking to me, giving me inspiration. So this means as much to me to be a part of WWIB than it does the book in itself.
Well, terrific. Thank you so much, Tammy. Wonderful talking with you. And we'll put this together and seek to put it on for our listeners this this Sunday, but also I'll try to pull some excerpts and leave it for the other announcers to be featuring throughout the month. So thank you so much.
Oh, thank you, Mark. I really appreciate the time that you gave me and your good questions. And God bless you, and we'll look forward to another book.
Tammy Nowak, the Eau Claire author, whose book, We're All the Same in Different Ways, a story about diversity and acceptance, is one of our gift offers during January from Western Wisconsin's Inspirational Broadcaster Incorporated. If you're a WWIB listener, you've heard more about it likely than our friends on WOGO. But in fact, rooted in Tammy's love for Jesus as her Savior and Lord, and with God's creation as a metaphor, Tammy addresses how we're all uniquely made, encouraging us to accept, celebrate, and include all of God's creation. It's a great lesson for young and old alike, and you'll love it. Yours this month for a suggested requested gift of $45 or more. As you support WIB Incorporated, you can give safely and securely online at WWIB.com. Thanks again to Tammy for joining us. I'm Mark Halverson. Thanks for joining us for this edition of Chippewa Valley This Week, a public affairs program of WWIB and WOGO Radio.